I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I have to say, what a delight and a privilege. This is my second time that I get to be with you folks in 3 weeks. Yeah. First Pentecost Sunday in Confirmations, and now here for this beautiful occasion of the dedication of the new entranceway and other pieces as well, right? Downstairs, the kitchen and other things. And I was thinking to myself as I was preparing for today and I'm sure you've all heard this kind of stuff, right, about how important architecture is, right? Yes? How important architecture is. Absolutely, yeah. Because architecture communicates things, right? Architecture communicates things. Has anybody here been in Europe and walked into one of those big cathedrals, those ancient medieval cathedrals? Yeah, a few of you? Yeah, if you ever get a chance, let me tell you something. When you walk into the cathedral and into this huge space, something is being communicated, right? You're coming into this often kind of darkish, but with light streaming through the windows, breaking in, and you look up, and with their Gothic arches, they pull your brain upward. Well, that's what it does to my mind, I suppose, not your brain so much, but you look up and it just sort of pulls you upward, and that's what it's meant to do, that as you come in, you realize that you are underneath. And there's all sorts of images that go along with it, too. On the other side of things, some of us were just chatting a couple days ago, we were sharing our stories of architecture, and we're commenting that in the 1970s, somebody had the brilliant idea that buildings were really good if you made them out of concrete entirely with as few windows as possible. I'm never quite sure what that was communicating. Don't come here? Yeah. And police stations. Have you ever noticed that police stations almost always look the same? You know, there's, you know, imposing. They make a statement. Well, I have to say, I think that your space makes a lovely statement. It's an entranceway. Opened it up, it is full of light. It says, welcome. It says, come in here. It says that, come in here and find something. And that's an important piece for your architecture to say. And so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking that, you know, it's also a good day for us to think about the architecture of the church. And I don't mean the building, I mean the church, the people of God, the body of Christ, all of us gathered here. And you may not have thought about it that way, but there is an intended architecture to the people of God. Oh, now you're all puzzled. You're staring at me like, what is he talking about? Well, I'm going to just pull up a few things, and I want to use the readings that we've been given today to pull some things out. So I'm going to start off with the reading from Genesis. And this is this great story of, we all refer to it as Jacob's ladder. Yeah, it's not clear that it's his ladder in the story, but we give it these names, right? We'll let him have it for the moment, until I correct that in a minute. But, you know, we call it Jacob's ladder. And the interesting thing is, you know, to start off with this, does anybody recall the story setting is? Jacob was having a holy retreat, and he sat down for a break, and he had this beautiful dream that God gave him. No. You're supposed to shake your heads at me and go, no, that's not what was happening. Right, okay. So just to remind you, the story goes like this. See, Jacob has just cheated his brother out of his birthright, right? And his brother is saying, I am going to kill him. And Jacob is running away. Isn't that a great thing? He's running away, and he's on his way out of the promised land. He's on his way out. That's where he's heading, is out, right? His mother has actually said, go before your brother catches up with you. It's, you know, family dynamics. We think we have, some of us have problems, right? You know, here's the thing, you know, your mother sends you away because your brother's going to kill you. There you go. So he's on his way out, and he stops at this place, and now, has anybody ever stopped to ask this question? Who uses a stone for a pillow? Not me, I gotta tell you. Mine's foam, I like it. It's very nice, foam. But it says, he lies down to sleep and he takes a stone and puts it on puts it under his head to sleep on. Kind of nuts. But anyways, but it makes a really good point, because what happens is he falls asleep, and then he has this vision of angels ascending and descending on a ladder that is set up between earth and heaven. And God makes this big promise to him about, you know, I will make you a big the people, and this will be your land, and this beautiful message that comes. And when Jake wakes up, of course, what does he do? He says, surely the Lord is in this place. And then he builds a little altar, and the place becomes named Bethel, the house of God, because it's a place where God is present. Bethel, the house of God. So here's your architecture. This is the simplest building of all, isn't it? It's a couple of rocks on top of each other, something that he's going to put his head on. But what does that say to us? What does that say to us? Well, here's what I see out of it. It's a rock. It says two things for him. Yes, it gives him a place to rest his head to go to sleep. And yes, it triggers a vision, but it's also still a rock. It's not a velvet cushion. There's no down feathers in it. It isn't comfortable. So part of the architecture of the church is that the church needs to be a place that is comfortable enough to give us rest and to give us visions, but hard enough to disturb us out of our comfort zone. And those of you who know the reference into the New Testament, John chapter 1, right near the end, what does Jesus say? He says, and what if you were to see the Son of Man, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man? The architecture of Jacob's ladder is that, in fact, it is a place between heaven and earth, and we know that the place between heaven and earth is Jesus Christ. And so the architecture of the church is the place in which heaven and earth joined, because Jesus Christ is present in our midst, joining us between this earthly life and the heavenly one. And to be joined between the earth and the heavens means to have your head on a pillow of stone, uncomfortable enough to disturb you, and to give you visions of what God is calling you to and the promise of a future. Architecture number one. Even a stone will do. So the second reading. 1 Peter chapter 2, one of my favorite things. And you know, yes, there's an obvious one here, right? Be yourselves built together into a temple, built as living stones into a temple. Right? This is the obvious one, but that's actually not where I'm going today. It's a good one because it reminds us of something. I'm going to get there in a minute. But it starts off by saying, rid yourself of all malice and slander and evil talk. Remove the stuff that shouldn't be there. Right? The architecture of the church's gathering is that it needs to be a place where first and foremost we confess and are forgiven and are absolved, cleansed of our brokenness, but then it needs to live as a place in which integrity and truth dwell, and where dishonesty and slander and harsh talk are laid aside, so that God's way, God's grace, God's love dwells. The church needs to be a place that is about purity and holiness and seeking purity and holiness. But of course, how do we get there? Well, see, this is where the building part comes in, because you see, scriptures remind us that our justification is only in Jesus. And so when it says, be built into a temple with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone, that means have our lives lined up with Jesus, because it is Jesus who will give us the foundation and the alignment and the way to be holy as a people of God. The architecture of the church is holiness and purity that comes from Jesus and is lived out as we seek to align our lives with God. The third reading, the gospel of today. It's Easter Sunday, and the disciples are all gathered in the upper room, and they're afraid. And Jesus appears in the midst of them and says, "Peace be to you." And then he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, I'm going to ask you to just be creative and imaginative with me for just a moment on this one, because this is an architecture piece. I wasn't sure whether this was a good one to put on you, are you ready? Okay. So the church needs to be a dragon's den. And not the CBC kind of dragon's den. I heard somebody thinking that over here. That was whoever you were. Not the CBC dragon's den, where you come in to be grilled and have to sell yourself. No, indeed. In fact, the first part of our architecture is Jacob finding a place on his journey as he's trying to get away from something. The church needs to be the place where people come to because they need something, not be driven away by the dragon's den of CBC or any other version thereof. But the church is a dragon's den because in it Jesus breathes the fire of his Spirit upon us, and we learn to become fire-breathing Christians. And I don't mean fire and brimstone. I mean the fire of God's Holy Spirit, the fire of God's love. This is where you come. It's a place of training. It's a place of training and equipping so that the Spirit that Jesus breathes on us, we breathe also to others as we live our lives in love and grace. We go out breathing the fire of God's love, and we share the faith that we have in Jesus with those that we meet day by day. And we do it with joy. How many of you go out every day thinking, "Who am I going to share my faith with today?" No? I was going to say hands up, but I'm thinking probably that's a dead in the water or something right now. Well, but we share our faith because that is what Jesus calls us to. We share it by the way we live out our lives, by the way we share what is important to us. We confess it, and we confess it by setting our lives on fire with God's love, by the power of God's Spirit. And so the architecture of the church needs to be a place to learn how to be a dragon, to breathe the fire of God's Spirit in God's world. So, what do you think? You've got the building, you've done all that, now you could be thinking even more focused on how do we become the building of God that is God's people. A place that is comfortable enough to welcome the distressed and uncomfortable enough to disturb them with the dream of God and draw them on. A place that draws and calls people into purity by bringing them into unity with Jesus so that their lives are aligned to his purpose and his way. And a place where people learn to breathe, as Jesus breathed on us, the fire of God's Spirit, so that God's love and grace and peace and joy might be known and received in all the world. May God empower you this day with his Spirit to live into the fullness of his holy architecture and be built into the living temple that is his design for you. Amen.